Hello again, you're listening to the news at one. For the second time this year, Britain has a new Prime Minister. Rishi Sunak, the UK's fifth head of government across six chaotic years, has come to power with a promise to restore stability, both politically and economically. In her farewell address this morning, his predecessor Liz Truss, who lasted just 6 weeks, defended her very short time in office, but there was no apology for the economic turmoil caused by her disastrous budget measures.
In just a short period, this government has acted urgently and decisively on the side of hard-working families and businesses. We reversed the national insurance increase. We helped millions of households with their energy bills and helped thousands of businesses avoid bankruptcy. We are taking back our energy independence so we are never again beholden to global market fluctuations or malign foreign powers. Our country continues to battle through a storm, but I believe in Britain. I believe in the British people, and I know that brighter days lie ahead.
Prime Minister Sunak has a heavy in-tray with the highest rate of inflation in decades among many economic challenges. In his first remarks as Prime Minister, he said he'd been chosen as the new Tory leader and head of government in Britain to fix some of Liz Truss's mistakes.
Right now, our country is facing a profound economic crisis. The aftermath of COVID still lingers. Putin's war in Ukraine has destabilized energy markets and supply chains the world over. I want to pay tribute to my predecessor, Liz Truss. She was not wrong to want to improve growth in this country. It is a noble aim, and I admired her restlessness to create change. But some mistakes were made, not born of ill will or bad intentions, quite the opposite, in fact, but mistakes nonetheless. And I have been elected as leader of my party and your Prime Minister in part to fix them. And that work begins immediately. I will place economic stability and confidence at the heart of this government's agenda. This will mean difficult decisions to come. But you saw me during COVID doing everything I could to protect people and businesses with schemes like furlough. There are always limits, more so now than ever. But I promise you this, I will bring that same compassion to the challenges we face today. The government I lead will not leave the next generation, your children and grandchildren, with a debt to settle that we were too weak to pay ourselves. I will unite our country, not with words, but with action. I will work day in and day out to deliver for you. This government will have integrity, professionalism, and accountability at every level.
The newly appointed British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. Let's talk now to Lucy Fisher, Chief Political Commentator with Times Radio. Lucy, thanks once again for taking our call this lunchtime. A number of elements to those remarks from Prime Minister Sunak on the steps of Downing Street this morning. Let's first of all just focus on what he had to say about the Prime Minister he takes over from, Liz Truss, and the government she led for such a short time, acknowledging that mistakes were made. What message was he trying to send there, do you think, to the British people?
Well, I think he was trying to make a very clear signal that the Trussonomics is now coming to an end. He described her vision and strategy as a mistake twice. And I think the most generous explanation he could find for the disastrous mini-budget was restlessness by his predecessor, trying to do too much too quickly, which was something similar to her own analysis of what went wrong. But I thought it was quite a drive-by shooting of Liz Truss frankly, much warmer words about his predecessor, Boris Johnson. He described him as generous of spirit, described his achievements as incredible. And I think in a way that is an acknowledgement of how much more dangerous a foe Boris Johnson could be to him if that hatchet isn't buried. I think particularly...
Oh, I think we've just lost...
He said he...
Sorry, Lucy, I think just your line has broken up a moment there, but maybe we have you back.
I'm back if you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
I was fascinated on the attention he drew to his mandate, or lack thereof, as the opposition would have it. Rishi Sunak said he thought that Boris Johnson would agree with him that the mandate won by the Tories in 2019 does not belong to one single person, but to the party to deliver on that manifesto. I think that did sort of reveal the nerves that Sunak has around the opposition's attack lines, that he lacks a mandate and that he is a prime minister for whom the public have never voted.
He did also, though, talk about leading a government of integrity, of professionalism, of accountability. And that, well, does seem to strike something of a contrast with the way business was conducted in the Boris Johnson years.
Well, yes, you are, of course, absolutely right. He was very keen to stress those personal qualities in stark contrast to his predecessor. I think his message overall was one of sobriety and seriousness. You know, tough times lie ahead in terms of the economic challenge facing the country. He made clear he does not want to saddle future generations with more debt, so difficult decisions lie ahead for him. He was also clear about the other priorities facing him. He name-checked the NHS, improving schools, tackling crime, bolstering the armed forces and protecting the environment as the other priorities for his administration before the next election.
One of the things that he didn't explicitly refer to was Northern Ireland or the protocol. Brexit did get a mention, and we'll come to that in a moment. But first of all, you mention what you interpret as his anxiety or his concern to mend fences with the Johnson faction within the Tory party, and yet one of them has already jumped ship. Jacob Rees-Mogg, in the last half an hour, I think, has said he's resigning from the government. He won't be serving under Sunak.
No, interestingly, earlier this morning, he told The Telegraph that he resiled from his former opinion that Rishi Sunak was a socialist, and had made clear that he would have been willing to serve in the cabinet if asked. I think clearly Sunak, or one of his aides, has made clear to Jacob Rees-Mogg that wasn't going to happen. So he has now tendered his resignation as business secretary. Brandon Lewis, the outgoing Justice Secretary, has also resigned, a former Northern Ireland secretary as well. So he is going back to the backbenches. But both men have made clear that they want to sort of unite the party and will support Sunak from the backbenches.
Are significant further changes, cabinet changes, expected, particularly in, you know, the key posts, Chancellor of the Exchequer, Minister for Finance, the Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary? Are those roles expected to change?
Well, no. Rishi Sunak is widely expected to keep Jeremy Hunt as his Chancellor. I think... roughly, they are on the same page on the sort of difficult choices ahead regarding tax raids and spending cuts. And also keeping Hunt would be, a stabilising force. Rishi Sunak generally is seen to be more on the right of the party, and Hunt is a key kind of moderate of the One Nation caucus. So again, keeping him would help him bolster his claim that he wants to form a government of all the talents. Home Secretary, it could be the case that he keeps Grant Shapps. He might return to Grant Shapps' predecessor, Suella Braverman, who, of course, came out in support of Rishi Sunak and therefore gave him credibility among the most hardline Brexiteers. He may want to choose another of his allies, you know, Dominic Raab, Mel Stride, were key campaigners who he'll be wanting to reward with good roles, and also Oliver Dowden, the former party chairman, who's one of his closest friends in politics. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a seat around the cabinet table.
And just finally, Lucy, in relation to Brexit and particularly the Northern Ireland protocol, are we likely to see any shift in approach here?
Well, in the hustings that the European Research Group, those hardline Brexiteers and the Conservative Party, held yesterday and before they made clear who they were going to nominate. In the end, they didn't nominate as a bloc. They made their individual choices. Rishi Sunak made clear that he was going to press ahead with the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill. He even suggested that he was willing to use the Parliament Act to force it through if it encounters problems in the House of Lords. So let's see what happens there. In a way, he had to make that those kind of promises to keep the right of the party on side with him ahead of the Tory nominations closing yesterday. We had thought that Liz Truss was beginning to stick to a more emollient strategy, possibly entertaining a long-term role for the European Court of Justice, either jurisdictional or an arbitration role. It may be that Rishi Sunak wants to resolve this. I don't imagine he has any appetite for a trade war with the European Union as we head into winter and things will become so tough economically for the United Kingdom and for households and businesses regarding energy bills, rising mortgage rates. So let's see if he doesn't try and find some resolution. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes switches tack slightly now that he is in power.
Okay. Lucy Fisher from Times Radio, thank you very much for that.